The Old Testament reading for the resurrection of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 65. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner, 100 years old, shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant, and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, or bear children for calamity. For they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Johanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We gather this wonderful day to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Early on Easter morning, the women went to the tomb, and we learn from the Gospel of John that there was a young man sitting in the tomb, and he says, "Do not be alarmed." Which I got to point out something. Just about every time an angel appears in the Bible, the first words out of the angel's mouth is either "do not fear" or "do not be afraid." So that kind of blows the idea of the angels being these cute little babies with wings. You've heard me rant about that. No, this is "don't be afraid." These are scary-looking to the normal human sinful eye. But anyways, the young man in the tomb says, "Do not be alarmed. Jesus has been raised. Now go and tell the disciples to return to their home in Galilee, and there you will see him." According to the Gospel of John, then comes the shocker of the Easter story. John records, "So they," referring to the women, "went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." The Gospel of Mark ends at that point. They said nothing to anyone about what they had heard. The cliffhanger is, you read the Gospel of Mark, you want more. You sort of want Paul Harvey to suddenly come around a corner and say, "And now for the rest of the story." And we do know that according to the Gospel I just read, that the women did go and tell the disciples what they had heard. But Mark ends with them being afraid and telling no one. It's a cliffhanger, because it asks the questions, what would you do with that message? This morning we're going to look at the greatest story ever told. He is risen. Risen indeed. Alleluia. And the women that morning went to the tomb with only one question on their minds. Who was going to roll away the large stone? Now we know from archaeology that the stones that were placed in front of tombs could take up to 20 men to roll it away. The women were coming to anoint the body of Jesus. It was one last act of love to the one that had loved them so much. The women didn't know if the Roman guards who were guarding the tomb would even let them open up the tomb. They weren't worried about being arrested for being a follower of Jesus. They weren't worried on how they might react to the badly torn and dead body of Christ. Their concern was the large stone. Easter includes many things. First of all, the most important is that Christ is risen. It also means that he defeated death, that eternal life is real. And death is not the end of life with God. That if we believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will live forever with him. The stone being rolled away is recorded in all four of the gospel lessons. The stone is quite significant in the story. In a way, Easter is about how God removes stones or obstacles that keep us from him. These obstacles or stones in our lives keep us from living the life he called us to live. Today we're going to think about the large stones which prevent us from living the abundant life that Christ has given us. Think about the challenges that keep you in your own tombs. Battles within that paralyze you from living that life he called you to live. And then think about how God plans to remove those stones. Now back to the disciples. They're in the upper room. Peter with the other 10 disciples. They were afraid. They were hiding out. It says in the gospel that they were afraid on account of the Jews coming to arrest them. No wonder the women were concerned about who'd roll away the stone, because the men were all hiding. So there you go, women. You get to nudge the man next to you. The men were hiding. They had created a tomb, so to speak, for themselves. Peter had denied Christ 3 times after Christ was arrested. And again, in a sense, Peter was denying Christ again in the upper room. Peter, the leader of the disciples, he was locked away with the other 10. There was a stone in Peter's life that needed to be rolled away. It's true for us as well. We get in our own way. I heard it put by a very wise man that when he looked at all the troubles in his life, most of them all had the same common denominator, and that was himself. Many times we put stones in our own lives. And Jesus comes to remove those fears. Our risen Lord comes to enter our lives, and he rolls away that stone that keeps us from being all that God wants us to be. The women didn't need to go to the upper room. They had the courage in the first place to go to the tomb. Now, they didn't know what they were going to do once they got there because of the stone, but the women going to the tomb teaches us a few lessons. Sometimes we have to step out in faith. God will be with us, especially when we need him most. Now, let's not let the women off the hook entirely, gentlemen, because they were supposed to tell Peter and the disciples to meet Jesus in Galilee, just like he had promised. But according to our gospel lesson, according to John, they fled and said nothing. As I said, they were afraid. And that's where Mark's gospel ends. When we step out in faith in our own lives, we can stumble. There's many stones in our ways, in our way. What were the women afraid of? Well, perhaps they were afraid of being laughed at the news. They found an empty tomb with the Messiah missing. To say it would be strange is a gross understatement. But to repeat the message that the young man gave the women at the tomb might have made the women think that they would appear crazy. But the women were afraid because they had another stone that needed to be rolled away. There's another miracle in Easter. Not only did Jesus keep all of his promises, he appeared to the 11 disciples. We know from the other Gospels that the women did tell the disciples, and Peter and John ran to the tomb to verify what they'd been told. Jesus forgave Peter for his denials. Jesus had also promised that he would send the Holy Spirit who would roll away the stones in their own lives, because there's no obstacle in our life that God cannot remove. And there is proof to the resurrection. Take 11 men who were scared to death of the Jews and the Roman officials. They are made aware that Jesus has risen from the dead. They see the risen Christ. And these 11 men then take that message to the entire known world, facing beatings, imprisonment, and if you believe church tradition, all but John died of horrible deaths as a result of that message. Think of it this way. Let's just suppose for a second the disciples made up the story. They sat in the upper room and they said, let's make up a story that he rose from the dead. Who would be put to death for a lie? If it was a lie, you could almost see Peter when he was in Rome about to be crucified upside down going, no, I was kidding, I lied, it never happened. None of the 11 did that. They faced death willingly because they believed and knew the resurrection was true. They were unwilling to deny what their own eyes had seen. They were fearless witnesses. So what changed in the disciples? What changed from being terrified men locked up in an upper room? Well, the question can be asked of us. What about the stones in our own lives? What changes in our lives? And the answer is Jesus himself. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, he removes the stones in our lives. And nothing could stop them or us as a result of that. Easter is about an empty tomb. Easter is about rolling away stones and obstacles in our own life. There is no tomb, either physically or metaphorically speaking, that can hold us. God empowers us to live the lives that he called us to live. Do not be afraid as the young man in the tomb told the women. Trust in God. Believe in Jesus Christ. Rejoice. Rejoice that every stone has been rolled away. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.